Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Take our masks off, Lord, that we would not be living in hypocrisy, Lord. May your light shine forth through us face to face. Guide us as we have this psalm this morning, again, filled with your goodness, filled with your mercy. And it's everlasting, everlasting, everlasting. So we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 118 is where we are today, and it's filled with praise to God for his everlasting mercy, for his goodness. And there is a hymn we don't sing an awful lot, but it's in the hymnal. I think it's 115, but you don't have the hymnal, so you got the words right here in front of you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So let's sing along with this. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As we look at Psalm 118, this is a very familiar psalm. In fact, it was Luther's favorite psalm. He quote to Abbot Frederick of Nuremberg, "This is my psalm, my chosen psalm. I love them all. I love all Holy Scripture, which is my consolation and my life. But this psalm is nearest my heart, and I have a peculiar right to call it mine. It has saved me from many pressing dangers, from which neither emperor nor kings nor sages nor saints could have saved me. It is my friend, dearer to me than all the honors and powers of the earth." But it may be objected that this psalm is common to all. No one has a right to call it his own yet. But Jesus is also common to all, and yet Christ is mine. I'm not jealous of my property. I would divide it with the whole world, and would to God that all men would claim this psalm as especially theirs. It would be the most touching quarrel, the most agreeable to God, a quarrel of union and perfect charity. That's the introduction. Verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So familiar words, but so powerful. So who's called to do that? The faithful. The faithful are called to magnify the Lord. And he goes on to say, let the nation, let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Then the priesthood, let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. And now let those who fear the Lord, that includes us, now say, his mercy endures forever. So let's say it, his mercy endures forever. Amen. Verse 5, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. You know, often we get awfully narrow in our thinking. We start looking around the world and all, and we start taking our minds off of the width of his love and his grace and his mercy and his goodness. And we say, all I ever see is bad things. Well, open your eyes and look up, right? It's a broad, broad path. Place that he's put his children on. Then a familiar verse, well quoted, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear, what can man do to me? The Lord is among those who help me, therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen?
Amen.
Now the next one's even further away. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. Princes were the politicians of those days, so I don't think you're going to have too much trouble with that verse. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me. Now that is a lot of enemies. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That's for each of us. He is won. He's won the victory. He's given us victory. No matter how many come against us, they can't take what he's given us, take away what he's given us, can they? They, the enemies, I believe, surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, hot and quickly growing, burning. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Then still talking about the enemy, I believe, you pushed me violently that I might fall. Anybody gotten a shove from the evil one this week? Or the evil workers of iniquity? But the Lord helped me. You know, it's kind of good, though, that God allows the workers of iniquity to stir us up. We need to be stirred out of our comfort zone, don't we? And when we are and turn to him, then we can say, the Lord helped me. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Just think of what that says. He has become my salvation. And think of Jesus Christ singing this Hallel. This is the last of the Hallel songs. They sang a song as they left the upper room, or wherever they weren't the upper room, as they left the Passover meal, the Seder, on their way to Gethsemane. So he's on his way to die. And here he's singing this song. Singing this song. Just think of that. When you're singing a song about yourself, in terms of this, he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of the righteous. That's for us. The tents, tabernacle, our homes. Is your home one where there are voices of rejoicing and salvation? I don't think you should have that TV on very much if you're going to concentrate on rejoicing and salvation. I mean, not that I'm just picking out one thing. It can be anything other than the Lord. But The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the homes or the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And again, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. Repeating one more time, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Do you see his right hand in your life? Just think about that. Now here's another verse. How would you like to sing this about yourself? In a way we can't, but he through him. I shall not die but live. Keep that in mind when you see other believers who are fearful of death. Now, they may not be fearful of death. Maybe what they're fearful of is getting there. But we should look forward to that. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Until we're out of this tent, what are we to do? Are you doing that? Are you showing that primarily? Words are fine, but showing it, I think, is stronger. Your life. Verse 18, the Lord has chastened me severely. What do you think of his chastening you? The Bible says you're to love it. Do you love it, or does it really disturb you, or do you complain about it a lot? The Lord has chastened me severely. I like it after it's over. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Now that is severe if you're near death, if you're even thinking about being chastened. Not, he has not given me over to death. Then he asks admittance into the house of the Lord and begins his acknowledgement of the divine salvation in these next couple of verses. Open the gates, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. How is that in my life? Am I opening the gates of righteousness? Through that he opens, and am I going through them, and I'm praising the Lord? This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. What a statement. You have become my salvation. Oh, that everyone could say that. Oh my. So who's responsible for that? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So we have here acknowledgement, really, that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone upon which our lives and the church is to be built. Although it was set aside, rejected by the Jewish leaders in Israel. But everything in a building in the old days was measured off the cornerstone. Every stone was measured. You know, when the temple was in construction, they cut all the stones at a external site. And each one, of course, was measured with respect to the corner. Cornerstone. Now, if Christ is the cornerstone of your life, everything in your life needs to be measured to him, not to the person next door. Or, you know, I'm better than that person sitting on the right side of me, and not on the left side of me, but pretty much any side of me, I'm better than they are. Forget it. Go to the cornerstone and see where you are. So, he's the chief cornerstone. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, which was awesome. And kind of for that statement, when he was brought before the Sanhedrin, he was being challenged and questioned when the lame man was healed, and Peter stood up and said, and they said, who did that? Who was responsible for that? And he said, Jesus Christ, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief corner. And of course, that really made them mad. But it's the Father who made the Son the chief corner, and the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. Day of redemption, God's day of bringing the Messiah. This is a reference to the very day that Messiah came. You know, that was prophesied 483 years earlier. The day that we're talking about here is his presentation as the Messiah. We call it Palm Sunday. 483 days to the day that the command was given by Artaxerxes Longimanus in Nehemiah chapter 2. And one of the places it says in the scripture, the reason that Israel is rejected is because they failed to keep that date. They didn't recognize the Messiah who came. But this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then describing that day in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you can notice the beauty of creation, and you can say this is the day the Lord has made, which is true, but that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about the day the Messiah made himself known, God made himself known, that he'd come to earth as a man. That's what we rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, we rejoice in California weather. We like whatever it is, a nice day, but that's not what this is talking about. This is the day, a special day. Prophesied Zechariah, he would come riding in on a donkey, the humble Lord Jesus, the King, riding on a donkey. This was the day the Lord has made. That was the first coming. Now this also applies, I believe, to the second coming as well, in a different way, not in terms of announcing his Messiahship, but in terms of bringing his kingdom on earth, right? That's what's going to happen on his second coming. That's the day we look at as well. Really, I think that's the period pretty much of the latter days. Everything leading up to this latter days, to the his second coming, is the latter days. But this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Moving right on into the next verse, Hosanna, save. Save now, I pray, O Lord, O Lord. A double emphasis there, save now. I hope that is your prayer. I hope that is your prayer for the lost. How they need our prayers. Think about their future as an unbeliever. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. And I think that's prosperity spiritually. Eternal prosperity. Yes, give us our day, our daily bread. That would include things that we need and have to sustain our bodies, but really prospering. I think prosperity here is save now. And who are the rich? The rich are the ones who have the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. That verse is given to us in all four Gospels. It's given to us in different places. By Jesus, quoted basically by Paul, basically by Peter. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Verse 27, God is the Lord. Amen. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it means prepare a solemn feast. Prepare a solemn feast. And cords could also be branches, and binding it with branches, and that really describes Jesus' triumphal entry too, doesn't it? When he came in on Palm Sunday, they were waving the branches, and he was really being prepared to be the sacrifice there, really the beginning of that Passion Week, really. So we have here then, bind the sacrifice with the cords of the altar is also what Samuel the prophet said. And it's preparing the sacrifice and putting it, giving it to the Lord in terms of the altar, the horns of the altar, or the power. Horns mean power. So the power of the altar. So this is prepare a solemn sacrifice. And again, as Jesus would be singing this, what would he be thinking? What would he be thinking? Verse 28, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. I will, it says. Am I, would say. With his help, may we be praising him. With his help, may we be exalting him with our lives. May that be visible in this dark and dying world where we are, praising him and exalting him. Verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He is the only God. He is the only God that is good. He's the only thing that is all good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, for his mercy, for his mercy endures forever. Wow, do we need that? Do I need that? For his mercy endures forever. Father, we thank you for this glorious word. It just kind of takes our breath away. We can't even comprehend most of it. But we do know that you are good. We know that your mercy endures forever. And we know that you are the sacrifice, Lord Jesus, that you bound yourself to that cross and with your blood paid the price of our sin, satisfying the wrath of God for the sin of all the world, Lord. Oh, unbelievable. Help us to remember. And guide us in our prayer time this morning, Lord, because we're here to pray and much to pray for in details, but also maybe even more than details, just to come to you and just to be close to you and just to sense you, and just to hear you, and speak to you when prompted by the Spirit, and lead us in these moments of prayer, and may we pray as you would lead in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father, we know you hear every prayer, and you know that we often get frustrated with the inability to pray the way we think we should and the way we would like. We can't even tell you that we really love you to the way that we can and thank you for what you've done for us, because the words are not there. We don't have that vocabulary, but you know our hearts, Lord. So thank you for meeting this morning and meeting us here. And Lord, as we close, I just want to focus back on Christ alone, cornerstone. As we see here, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's sing along. My hope is built on nothing less, entitled Cornerstone. praise you. We honor you. We worship you. We thank you. Lord, may we take with us all the time your word, your love, showing your mercy and your grace through our lives. We ask for your help in doing this day in Jesus' name. Amen.